Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to the season premiere of SmackDown Preview. I'm Michael Hanford from What Culture and I'm joined by my fellow Dudley boy Michael Sidgwick from What Culture to discuss everything that might happen on this week's edition of Friday Night SmackDown. But first, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure to subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only preview and review SmackDown but also Monday Night Raw, the brand formerly known as NXT 2.0, AW Dynamite, AW Rampage, pay-per-view, premium live events. We also hold wrestler interviews, have roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. Cedric, it's SmackDown. It's episode one of SmackDown season 25 or something. Are you hyped? Are you pumped for the season premiere?
The season premiere and the fall season. Ultimately, my take on SmackDown is that not just by virtue of being shorter than Raw, is the better show at present. I always hated historically the take of SmackDown's kicking Raw's ass. Well, Vince McMahon's punched himself in the face. And said, I wish he would have, but that's not how it works.
Because of like 6 good months in 2002 under Paul Heyman. It's like SmackDown's more the wrestling show. Is it? Because I've just watched a Gemini match.
I just watched a build to a concrete crit match, actually.
Undertaker said, "Where to, Teddy? This is the work rate show, is it?"
It's one that Vince doesn't care about, so they're getting the good ideas.
That's not the secret show, actually.
There's been a combined maybe 10 months across a century thus far where that has been true.
SmackDown Live was really, really good, and it turns out that was so they could secure a massive money deal.
Yes.
Like, they were like, we need to make this seem distinctive. We'll put it on a Tuesday night. Like, oh, this is good. This is just as worthwhile as Raw. You got your $1 billion deal? Yeah, SmackDown again. Absolutely.
So, you know, I like SmackDown better than Raw at the minute, chiefly because the matches have to be shorter, and Sami Zayn is on it. And if Sami Zayn was on Raw, booked by the same guy, that would be better by virtue of Sami Zayn being on it. But you know what? I don't really like SmackDown. I think the in-ring action sometimes is subpar. It's full of the usual WWE tropes that I'm not really a big fan of. But because they've got the WWE rematch of the year, I'm looking at SmackDown this week and saying,
hey, you all right.
It is all right, isn't it? It is. This card is absolutely all right. And that button is blue. It's SmackDown blue,
it's
baby.
It's SmackDown blue.
You know when you see season premiere? And season premiere, what I think of from the most recent WWE season premiere overreaches was the Monday Night Raw skate ramp. Like,
yes.
Maybe, just maybe, like there's going to be... Like, we should probably talk about this now, actually. It is the season premiere. And the... Obviously, there's sometimes aesthetic changes. Like, I'm into wrestling aesthetics, so like a new logo, different arrangement of the pyro when they can be asked to spend money. It's all fun and games. But a big story that just broke last night was these announcer changes. Pat McAfee is still off, and he's not going to be available for the near future. But we've had, obviously, Corey Graves and Michael Cole. That changes tonight, I think. So like we've now got, I can't even remember, I've not got the notes in front of me. The new SmackDown announce team is Michael Cole and
Wade Barrett
getting a call up. I bet he was old as a rock when he saw that news, Vic. So he's getting a call up. Like, any thoughts in general? Like, this isn't meant to be a hospital pass. Genuinely, any thoughts on these, like, announced changes in general, but like Wade being the guy that was given the nod. This is still the $1 billion wrestling show. This is still the A show. Wade Barrett's got a feather in a cap, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think that the WWE commentary is wildly generic, irrespective of who's in the chair. I feel sad that Jimmy Smith's not there because he didn't deserve that. He did a commendable job. Look, the idea is you want to be, I can never listen to Michael Cole. He's just having fun out there. I can never listen
when he pulls up the Evolve Wikipedia page.
I know.
Like, he's having fun. getting these nods off people on Twitter. Like, he was referencing Stardom the other week when, like, Damage Control were doing their, like, I don't even know the reference, but he'd obviously Googled it, and they were doing the triple team, and it's like I forget what the app were called, and it's like, Michael Cole's not up on it,
mate. Yeah.
Like, he's not up on it. He just knows at this point he's going to get somebody once a week highlighting the video and isolating it for clicks.
So I've got two things about Michael Cole that mean I can't really get into him. I'm haunted by his NXT Season 3 commentary, some of which was funny, on a Schadenfreude level, but it give you a picture of the man.
Yeah.
And I don't think, oh, you know, he's this... People go on at him about Michael Cole as if he's the Fink, right? This lifelong, borderline tragic victim of Vince McMahon's bullying, despite doing an absolutely great job. Yeah. And I don't want him to be shouted at, but you kind of, from this NXT run and the Boys Club stuff, you kind of get a picture of the guy Michael Cole is, so I just personally have a bit of a distaste for him. And I don't like the bar when everyone's going, should hear him at the NXT UK tournament. Great, he's gone from insufferable cliche machine to somewhat generic.
Yeah.
With no gravitas, really. But he's there, I'm used to him. The goal is to be cool. I think the real goal is to be Tom Phillips. Mm. Someone who's just there. Someone who's absolutely inoffensive. Someone who's good enough at their job.
Galaxy Caramel of a voice, mind.
Yeah.
Lovely voice.
Lovely voice. Someone who's just there and doesn't really annoy you, but isn't so bland that they might as well not exist, like a, what's the guy? I forgot his name.
That's a perfect example.
No, seriously, what is his name?
Which one?
Glasses, short, dark brown hair.
Todd Grisham.
Grisham. He was offensively generic.
Yeah.
There's a level above that, Tom Phillips. I think Jimmy Smith nailed that as well. So I don't know why he's not there. You think he's absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
Absolutely perfect for the role.
Maybe that was mutual, because he was from out... Generally, when people come to wrestling from outside it, they just look at wrestling, have a cup of coffee in it, and go, I think I'll leave wrestling behind now, thanks very much. Yeah. Maybe that was a two-way thing, I don't know.
I don't know how much of the material impacts Wade Barrett on commentary, because it's impossible to take anyone seriously or anything in that context. Yeah. So maybe you'll saw... on SmackDown, maybe the stuff that he's trying to be funny about will actually get over. But because it's just a hellhole where you can't take anything seriously, not least the credibility of the announcers, I've never listened to Wade Barrett on NXT 2.0 and went, you know what? I think he's worthy of the promotion. Like, you know, when back in the day you were like, why isn't Graves? Remember that. Uh-huh. Like, yeah, so you used to have that feeling. I've never really got it.
Todd Grisham's equivalent to that was Matt Stryker.
Yeah, I know.
Guys, marooned out there on ECW. Should we on Raw? Should we be doing pay-per-views? Oh, yeah, watch Royal Rumble, see how well that goes.
Yeah.
Are you marking out Bro now? I don't think you are. Speaking of which, by the way, Booker T on 2.0. Jesus.
Well,
the world is watching.
Well, Kevin Patrick apparently is our main event. I would never know that in a million years, ever. The reports
We've had quite a lot of tweets about him getting promoted to Raw. I don't know why.
I know.
Yeah, it's quite weird. Funny that.
This veers on the inexplicable for me, but you know what? I will absolutely give the guy a chance. He's a bit of a meme, obviously, on these podcasts. To me, he comes off as quite a... Yeah, I don't know. Seems like a nice fella.
Affable.
Affable enough fella, but I don't know if I want to have him as the sort of senior voice on a broadcast I want to take seriously. I'll reserve judgment, of course. I'm not going to bury the guy. But that's Scanders. Huh?
Yeah.
Like, when I read that, Hamflet... And the commentary changes. So I was fully expecting, oh, come on, give me Maro. Give me Maro for the short. Another bit of inside baseball. It was, as soon as it said WrestleVotes, we're hearing that there's going to be a change to the commentary team. We were all desperate for Maro to come back, purely so we could play the game. What could Maro say?
Yeah.
What bollocks is Maro going to come out with? That's incredibly convoluted and it's just distracting and only seeks to get himself over. But
three and a half minutes into the match and you've just finished your reference. Yeah. Maro, come on.
But it's not Maro. It's Kevin Patrick. I reserve judgment, but my feelings are that's not really going to work. Barrett, again, nothing is taken seriously in NXT 2.0. So I don't know if he's got credibility. I don't know if he can be genuinely funny. I think him trying to bury Cole might work better chemistry-wise because Cole's still got that establishment.
He can
establishment.
Be a dork, can't he,
Booker T on NXT 2.0. Honestly, I thought Triple H didn't have a bone of patter in his body. Evidently, he has. Yeah. That is perfection. I could not have fantasy booked something better. I cannot wait. I'm going to, you know what, for the first night of Booker T on NXT 2.0, I might give them the AEW Dynamite shift. Because usually NXT 2.0, like 20 past 5 in the morning, if my kids wake up before I finish the show, I will just watch it while I'm doing my breakfast or cup of tea. With Dynamite, let me fix for the 2 hours. Booker T for 2 hours on that program. I can't wait.
Some Booker T content for you quickly, and then we will get to SmackDown. There's a great Twitter account that I follow, promos, WWE promos that you might have forgotten about. And they're stock in trade more than just these like wild things that they would never see on television, or they're taking off Peacock, whatever, is stuff from, like, the best stuff for me is like 2014 through to present day, because WWE content's always been so disposable. You've forgotten a million. Yeah, you know, I always get this wrestling encyclopedia or robot brain or whatever. That really does start to stall in the mid-2010s because just so much content happened at you, right?
And so many directions were dropped, called
and all that. Do you remember, because we were podcasting Raw at this point, do you remember the era where Booker T despised Jason Jordan on commentary?
Yes.
Because I'd forgotten that.
I remember
Jason
that.
Jason Jordan does a run-in to save a babyface or something.
And like, I don't like his attitude.
Yeah, Booker T like, here it comes again, being arrogant. And Corey Kane's like, what are you talking about, Booker? He's saving his friend. It's arrogance, man. It's pure arrogance. Just like, he just got a bit between teeth about Jason Jordan. It's like, you, I'm having you every single week. It was as if like he was trying to work his own WrestleMania match out of it because they were like high on Jordan. And I was like, you know, I can steal you. Like, if I set this up on commentary, one of these days, they're going to book a week where Jordan slaps the headset off my shoulders and away we go.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre.
Booker, I cannot wait. What's he going to say? What is he going to say? Because think about Booker T, he's kind of got that AJ Styles
Shucky
quality.
Shucky Dicky quack. Yeah. Booker T's erection of the week.
He's got that. We have talked about the AJ Styles phenomenon where it's like, you're a bit patter.
Mm.
I've heard the Nature Hoot.
Yeah.
Seen some of your New Japan stuff. Well, all of it, but like the comedic leaning stuff. And also, you're a bit of a punchline in and of itself, and you don't know how patter you are the other time. What was he doing before?
I've heard something.
I've read some stuff. Okay.
Okay. Your feet are flat.
Yeah, your feet. Have you ever thought about how your feet are flat?
Brian, that's fine. You're on about the world, mate. I've got corrective shoes.
I've always loved about how your feet are flat, right? So the idea being that your feet are flat because they have to traverse the flat earth, right? Apply AJ's logic to what if the earth was round, what your feet would have to look like. They'd have to be like a crescent moon shape. Yeah. How small would the world be? How small would the world be? There'd have to be like a bit of it that feels
your arch up to your knee, just so it can maintain balance on it. How is he walking on the upside down bit of the circle? Explain that to me, Mr. Genius Daniel Bryant.
But that's what he's talking about, isn't it? How small do you think it would have to be?
Hey, Gallows, Anderson, explain something to me. We're working in Australia. How's that work? How's the showdown work? Because I have to check the match at the bottom. I don't know if you've heard of a little thing called gravity. I've read a science book for once in my goddamn life. Excuse me. Praise the Lord. My freaking life.
But Booker T.
Of the freaking in my
fist. Freaking.
When he said, a bit freaking stiff. A freak.
It's F-R-E-A-K and F-R-I-C-K as well for AJ. But sometimes he's banter. Which leads me back to Booker T. We will talk about SmackDown, I guess. Do I have to? that's one match I want to preview. Where Booker T is actually like a really funny bloke, and sometimes it's just utter nonsense.
Yeah.
Like utter drivel that.
Chaos.
Just only make, yeah, it's great. Like, you don't want to put over Vince these days, and nor should you, but the bit where he breaks because Booker T is talking about how he's going to the church to please some bingo. It's the way he says bingo. It's just great.
We've been enjoying the 2002 NWO stuff. What? We can't do the NWO theme.
I'm just a Booker T. Booker T. I'm not your sucker. And he pops himself. He
leaves the screen, pissing himself laughing. You got, it's Nash and Xbox.
Nash and Xbox.
Newspapers and like the newspapers shaking in his hands.
Nash is going, all right then. But yeah, Barrett maybe should be better, but I didn't forecast this promotion. I don't think he was so undeniable.
Shout out to Kathy Kelly. Like, was good originally. She left, I remember there was a nice moment with the Undisputed Era where she left NXT. It was like early 2020. She was like, she was going to like chase television dreams and the next step and all that. an awful time to like make that big career shift, but like somebody that was, we talked a lot about like how WWE for years just molded these backstage personalities and being, it's why Renee Young stuck out the way she did.
Yeah.
Kathy Kelly was well on the way to doing that. It just made you feel like she was deeply invested.
Kayla Braxton's done well as well.
Kayla Braxton's good. Like WWE's digital content was quite good with Kathy Kelly. Just somebody that felt invested in the product beyond being made to stand there. What's the line? My guess at this time. All hate it because they're professionals. So yeah, hopefully this is like a sign of like more good things to come in this regard. Should we do a bit of SmackDown?
Yeah.
I know you've been absolutely frothing at the gash to get onto it, so let's do it. Ricochet versus Solo Sikoa in a singles rematch from... Now, manager, we'll get to that in a minute. It's Gunther versus Sheamus. We were privileged to be there in person for... well, not the first WWE five-star match we've been there in person for, oddly enough.
I know. Like, we saw an NXT five-star in the arena.
Yep.
And Hamflet, we have been in person for 1/7 of the five-star WWE main roster matches.
Quite something, isn't it? Quite something.
Wait there.
Oh, for God's sake. Broken the deck here. What are we doing?
It's time to play the game!
What were the other six?
Oh, right. Okay. The wrong... Bret and Owen match. It was a SummerSlam 94 when he gave the 5-2.
Yeah.
Should have gone WrestleMania. He didn't go 5 on Shawn and Razor. Or did he?
You'll tell me.
I'm wearing that match on my t-shirt right now. He went 5 on Cena and Punk at Money in the Bank. We're not counting the NXT ones.
No, because there's like, there's lots. Like Dragunov and Walter, yeah. Bate and Walter, yeah. They're all loads.
He went 5 on Austin and Bret at WrestleMania because it's the most important WWE match ever. He went 5 on Undertaker and Shawn because, to be fair, he couldn't know how terrible Kane would have been over 25 years. How many? How's that? 5?
You got 4 out of the 6 because we've only got 2 more left. Sheamus. Yeah, 2 more
I'll
left.
I'll take a punt on Michaels Razor then in the last match.
5.
5. So one more.
One more.
Ah. I don't like the dead air, and I don't think this is it, but I'll go with Michaels Taker at WrestleMania 25.
Famously only got 4 and 3 because that. To this day there are people whenever he gives a 5 to something like outstanding they'll go biased because he didn't give it to Sean and
Brian Cena at SummerSlam
4.5 didn't even go 4 and 3 for that I don't
go
think
go on then yeah it's
one more guess
it feels like it should be a newish one
you'll kick yourself
I know I will I don't want it to feature Triple H as good as some of his stuff was
never had a 5-star match
God.
Never had a 5-star. I'm just going to double check my Meltzer memory here for that.
Your Meltzer memory is strong. I've
just to get absolute faith clarity on. I know it wasn't 5, but was it the Cena Bryan? Was it 4 and 3 or 4.5? I think it's 4.5. I'm just going to double check.
Felt a 5 when I was watching it. I really love that.
4.5?
4.5. I'll go.
I thought it was. You'll kick yourself.
Yeah. I know I will. And now it's that worst thing where I can't even think of a single wrestling match in the world that could possibly be.
Do you want the answer?
Yeah, give the answer.
Cody Seth.
Of course. Yeah. And I would kind of fight for that because it was a 5-star viewing experience. Yeah. I was absolutely gripped at every single second of it. Yeah.
So we've Fair seen enough. A 7th of them. We'll get the rematch tonight.
Yeah. So do you know what? I'll go first on this one because I think we're going to have a bit of a WWE flip here where you're going to be like full of really cool analytical positives and I've got like a few negatives around it.
I've got negatives.
I've got some like nervous anticipation for this. We did the Extreme Rules preview, which if it hasn't dropped yet, we'll be dropping in your podcast feeds any day now. And I think this could be one of the first bits of really quite sad, for me sad, less so for you I know, but for me sad, Triple H, like transparent 50-50 booking. We're getting the Donnybrook 6-man at Extreme Rules and I don't think Sheamus is, I think this run has been fantastic and I think you have absolutely, you've got something from this. The Brawling Brutes are cool bloodline rivals and Sheamus is cool Roman Reigns B-show fodder. You know the Roman Reigns Riddle TV feud?
Yes.
Do that with Sheamus.
Yeah,
you are absolutely there. The reactions he's getting, absolutely do that. Doesn't need to win, but it can feel really cool. Roman can feel under pressure for a minute, that kind of thing. So they've achieved something with this program, they have. But I think Gunther's retaining, and I'm increasingly concerned that a half-decent weapons brawl at the premium live event is going to be, this is a real quiz. Brawling Brutes get their arms raised, and we all move
after
on.
After the beat like Bartella, Vinci.
Yeah, we all move on. And that in my head...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Plus, things like the constraints of television, ad breaks, all the usual stuff have me significantly concerned. If anything, this might damage the legacy of just how special that Clash at the Castle match felt.
My big concern, Hamflet, is that Sheamus was in a decent radius of his home country. So a lot of the fans in the building like connected with Sheamus and like loved him and all the rest of it. As a UK crowd witnessing their first proper canonical pay-per-view in years and years and years, there were loads of people there. It was a lovely weekend. Like, everyone had a great time, it felt like. Even people I wasn't speaking to.
You never imagined that WWE could have a weekend like that again.
Yeah, I know. Like, people were really, really, really enjoying themselves just from afar. We certainly were. We had great interactions with them, the listeners that we were privileged to meet and all the rest of it. So it's a bit different to a TV match on SmackDown. So I'm worried about the lack of crowd noise.
I don't know. You'll get plenty of somebody pressing buttons for crowd noise.
Well, that's we're going to get too much of this.
If anything.
So, yeah, I'm worried about the lack of heat. It won't be the same. I think they've got enough to do a even better match. Like, they're both so immensely talented. And the idea is that, like, people can have better sequels to matches because you've got stuff to play with. It just feels like one of those flawed sequels where maybe some of the spots are theoretically better because they're building on that which they've built, already established.
Sequel stuff.
Like, I love the idea of Sheamus's back going out, but then powering through it and just hitting the white noise and just feeling like, oh, well, that was the thing that plagued him in the first one. Can he actually get it done now? But yeah, I'm worried about the lack of crowd heat. The ad breaks should be a problem as well, as they often are. But ultimately, I still think this should be excellent. I'm looking for exceptional, but I'm thinking it's going to go on excellent for all the factors we've just said. And I do think Gunther is going to win. And I do have the similar reservations about how they're going to equalize everything at the pay-per-view. But I think that a really good finish here, and it's another genius aspect of Walter as a Gunther, Walter, whatever, as a performer, is that he always reserves it. I think he'll do that absolutely ridiculously, like, oof, big splash.
Yeah.
Where it's like he only busts it out on special occasions when you know like he's too close to trouble and he has to take the risk. I think he can protect Sheamus in defeat. And God, I hope that's the case. I haven't considered the possibility though where it's just a schmoz. What a disgrace that would be.
Yeah.
It was the reason why, and again, I love being right. Sometimes I know that people who do the whole, I was right, I know they're dickheads, but ultimately I've been banging the drum of a clean, spirited defeat, going out like a badass, does so much to get someone over. Mm-hmm. Case in point, fucking Sheamus.
Yep.
If they do not that, but think that, oh, he needs to be protected because he can't have two clean losses, he really can, that they'll just have an interference, and that's, oh, well, what a great preview of this Sunday that was. Mm-hmm. I hadn't even considered the dirty finish.
Well, I don't want to, and that's like, just on this briefly, because we could get into a wider discussion on it, but the SmackDown preview used to be a complete knockabout of a Friday morning because WWE had nothing that ever really mattered. And we've joked before with like Raw previews that we all do as a trio that whenever there's a big match to advertise in the old world, it's like, well, how are they not going to deliver this finish? And very gradually, it's not perfect, it isn't, but very gradually Triple H is repairing that. And we've talked about this match completely before we've reached the point where, oh God, but what if it's that?
Yeah.
That is a testament to like how much he's gradually trying to rebuild people's faith in these big things. It is double the job of rebuilding it than it is to ruin it. Some sort of like dodgy finish here has us for weeks afterwards going, well, yeah, but this match looks great, but why would they deliver a finish? It's like, it takes so long to rebuild the faith and then it can be destroyed like in one finish. The damage that would do, I think, is far greater than just for this feud.
Yeah. There's two types of cynical before we move on very quickly, where you can be cynical about them not doing a finish because they like to protect the wrestlers and all the rest of it, even though the heat's been on the booker for years. But in another bit of cynicism, Triple H is desperate to unsettle AEW and get some of his talent back and to win because he lost embarrassingly the first time. He got his goddamn ass kicked. Now he's got the benefit of the brand value, and I think anyone would win. But regardless, that's another conversation for another day. If he has Gunther and Sheamus and gives him 20 minutes, so I'd go and just do it again, but even better if he can, lads. He will have people saying better than any match on Dynamite or Rampage this week.
Yep.
And he'll have that going for it as well, so... Because that's what he's trying to do on Raw, quite frankly. He's desperate to do that on Raw. That's what it stinks of to me, quite frankly. So maybe we'll see that apply to SmackDown, but in terms of an actual great match this time.
Well, that's a good segue to the... I was joking a little bit before, a bit flipping about Ricochet versus Solo Sikoa. Their interactions were the highlight of a very good tag match last week. We're kind of low-key Madcap Moss guys, because for the 300-pound jacked-up guy, he's got an awesome hot tag.
Yeah.
Like, he's got something. Like, he goes like speed muscle sometimes in those, like, the latter stages of those tag matches. It's just, he's both.
Hoss muscle.
That's it. But Ricochet and Solo Sikoa had some really high quality interactions last week. Ricochet, of course, was perfect to be the big bumper in like very spectacular fashion for this like genuinely quite incredible rollout of Solo Sikoa on the main roster. They've told you he's an enforcer, and then they've given you like three physical matches. I wasn't mega high on the Drew debut, but I really enjoyed the match on Raw, and I really enjoyed the tag match last week where they presented him, because obviously you've got Sammy as the contrast too, as this like dominant physical presence in a way that coolly for the Bloodline, the Usos no longer have to be. The Usos now kind of have almost been promoted by the virtue of Solo being the guy that does the grunt work, and Sammy obviously being Sammy. So I'm, again, in a similar vein to what you were saying about how like, all of a sudden, can Triple H compete for advertising space in terms of the good match discussion? He's maybe got another one here as well.
Yeah.
I don't think the result's in doubt. I think I expect Solo Sikoa to pick up a win. But Ricochet, too, will feel like he's very much losing upwards at the moment. This is not Ricochet getting beat under Vince McMahon.
No, it's different to that, but not different enough for me.
Okay.
I just want the exhilaration.
Mm.
And I'm not being funny, right? I know Ricochet had that minorly vaunted series with Mustafa Ali on main event, right? Earlier this year or late last year. Strange. Where it was like, right, I'm not that interested. I don't think these promos are blow away.
Don't sleep
great
on that. Well, I've got two kids. I will sleep, actually.
Yeah, I will. But if you watch their promos on main event where they were just like, do what you want. It's just content. It was pretty good. Like, really generic. Nothing you've never heard. Oh, we deserve an opportunity, blah, blah, blah. But it was so much better than the stupid bollocks he had to say on the main roster. But I don't really at the same time watch Ricochet for his promo ability. I know he's better than he's been made to be. I don't really watch him for his character development. If he's good for nothing else, he's good to make me blow my mind, and he hasn't done that yet. I don't expect him to do it tonight, and for me that's nothing less than just let him wrestle. That's what he's great at. Undiluted, unrestricted Ricochet. I don't think I'm going to get it tonight, but I do like Solo Sikoa. I'm into the act, so yeah, it should be arid.
It's a Bloodline night. We'll get to this now, I suppose, before we kind of wrap up the last few things on the show, because we, you know, to some this will be, we've talked about Gunther Sheamus, obviously, but like, understandably, this will be absolutely huge, the draw for the SmackDown season premiere, although it's not something that they need to deal with right now. They're doing it anyway. Roman Reigns and Logan Paul come face-to-face. The last time they did, of course, was on that pretty great press conference thing they built.
Yeah.
And this is all for Crown Jewel rather than Extreme Rules. It's always this thing where sometimes now they've got other things to build, and it feels like an odd time to do it, but it's season premiere week and it's SmackDown and all that. Have you, I suppose not, like, you know, is this going to be electrifying? Have you any expectations at all for this? Or do they, like, because it's my belief that they've kind of, they've already got what they need here with the graphic. It is a cool thing to look at. The match is very fun. Like, the match, it's a I hate to use this, but it is sort of a perfect crown jewel match in one respect. Yeah. I wish that didn't mean what it means, but we know what these shows are for, unfortunately. But it's dripping in spectacle. And my worry is that because WWE know that, they can promote segments like this and they're not really deliver anything. Because the spectacle, in their minds, the spectacle will speak for itself. I want a bit more. I like the negging at the press conference, and I want some more of that.
I hope they just basically copy it and just do a little sequel version. Obviously,
Sammy's got previous with Logan Paul.
Yeah. It would look so hokey as well if they, like, AEW tried to do this. Remember the Cody Jake Hager press conference? When it's like, well, there's obviously no press there because it's in the middle of a pandemic. So there's no press there whatsoever. And that just made it feel fake. And the fact that they don't do it all the time.
Mm.
It's like the weigh-ins.
Yes.
They always, like, varying degrees of quality. Like, the first one they ever did was fantastic. So they can't really do it like that. But keep the same tone of conversation, a little bit more naturalistic. I would love this if it was on a... I still don't consider Crown Jewel canon. Mm. I just don't. And it's just an ugly show for reasons that we all are aware of at this point. I would love Logan Paul versus Roman Reigns so much more if it was on a massive SummerSlam-style show, or even Survivor Series as your main event, because there would be that creeping doubt of... They always love the mainstream pub. Mm. Can you imagine the mainstream pub of, oh my God, Logan Paul's won the title?
Yeah.
That would be
Goldberg Lesnar levels are big, and use the Survivor Series example.
One of those anxiety driven, or maybe not anxiety because Paul's good, but one of those are the con. Like Logan, it would be like breaking the streak with Undertaker.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Like you'd have to build someone who's there all the time. So I think that would hover over it in this really anxious and dramatic way. I don't get that. And frankly, the TV just ruins literally everything for me in this company. Like Logan Paul on pay-per-view, great. Mm. Logan Paul in a press conference adjacent framing, great. Put a scripted WWE segment in him at the center of it. They're almost always bad.
The nature of where
the first one on telly was crap, wasn't it?
Yeah. Where the Bloodline are at now, you risk this going horribly wrong for your narrative because Logan Paul wants to be a babyface and fine. But the Bloodline are tweeners, proper ones.
Yeah.
Like, I know that word gets thrown around too much, but if you watch that Sammy segment back, the fans know full well that Sami Zayn is being gaslit and yet still want him to get the T-shirt. So it's playing magnificently with emotions. So the Bloodline have become an act that, like, people want to pay to watch and want to see and want to enjoy. And Logan Paul is telling you that he's the good guy here. I'm not sure it's just as easy. I don't think you can tell people that.
No.
I think people can cheer for Roman Reigns over Logan Paul. He's their guy. So I'm quite curious to see how that dynamic works as well. I just hope that they capture how big time the two of them coming together felt. I think if nothing else, they've stumbled upon something that... This is always the trick. And to Triple H's credit, I think what he's done with the mid-card, he's at long last solved a big problem in WWE because he's found credible opponents for Roman.
Yeah.
He's lining them up, whether it's Kevin Owens or... I know Ricochet's not there yet, but it doesn't take long. He's showing you that it doesn't take long to get guys there. And that was such a huge problem in the Roman Reigns, like under Vince... title reign. So this is another great example. They found somebody
else to look at.
Yeah, it is. It's something to look at. We'll get to our personal main event last on this podcast. So just quickly, the remainder of the Extreme Rules Go Home show. It's an Adam Wilborn staple, isn't it? Because it's the Go Home show. That doesn't mean anything anymore, but we talk about it anyway. Yeah. We've got White Rabbit, Liv Morgan, Ronda Rousey, and Drew McIntyre, Karrion Kross from the Blue Brand. Can you see any of those being developed in any meaningful way? Any last angles, any sort of thoughts, feelings, anything on any of those three things ahead of the pip?
If I'm them, I go a bit big and not too cryptic with White Rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think everyone's guessed, but what did they do? Did they do anything before the Punk thing?
I was trying to think of that, on the last Dynamite.
I don't think they did. I think they've already got them, so maybe something cryptic. The fun is in the doubt. We've said this a million times, mm-hmm. So maybe just preserve the doubt as best you can. So maybe I wouldn't or do anything nor expect it. Drew and...
You're a Karrion Kross guy now.
Inexplicably, I think he's great in these pre-tapes. Yeah. He really has a presence.
Well, they're back in America this week.
Yeah, I think the restrictions have eased.
Yes.
I think that between the last WWE show in Canada and this AEW one, that would have been interesting. But unfortunately, I think they might have picked that date for a reason, actually.
Yeah.
I know at least one guy who's not at the old jab.
Yeah, brother.
Should I tell you later? Do you know?
I don't.
I'll tell you
after
later.
The podcast.
So that's by the by. Let's show the... I think that, look, if my fantasy booking comes to fruition, the idea is that Drew's done everything he can as a babyface. Mm-hmm. Could be a really good heel. Him losing to Karrion Kross further kills him as a babyface. That's fine because he'll be anew as a heel.
Feed him to the Fiend afterwards.
Feed him to the Fiend afterwards. So maybe you get one last big time heat segment on him here. Like, you know what Drew McIntyre loves?
I do, and I think I even know what you're going to say.
More than Haggis, Einbrew, Rangers Football Club.
Is it Instagram?
Hey!
Is it Instagram shots of his own pain?
Yes.
I hate it, man. I hate
you it. You think this is fake, do you? It's think this is fake? Look at the state of my back.
It's supposed to be. Yeah, right, what are you doing to your body, man? I never did that to any wrestlers.
So I think...
My legacy stands up for itself.
So I think he's going to... Get
I hate it, mate.
Strapped, and then he's going to go on Instagram on the night after. You think this is fake, do you? I know it is.
Yeah.
I know it is.
Where's your black eyes? He punched you 12 times.
Yeah, I know.
Punched
you
10 in the corner and recounted along. Not a single black eye. Explain that.
So I think that's what's going to happen. He loves Strap that. Stuff. He loves that. What was the other thing?
Liv Morgan and Ronda Rousey. Liv Morgan has the baseball bat last week with stickers on that's her equalizer. And she's shown in the last few
she's
weeks.
She's still got her ass kicked.
Yeah, she can show in the last few weeks that she's like ready to go extreme. She put Lacey Evans through the table. They've done the best they can from circumstances they created with the imbalance between Liv Morgan and Ronda Rousey.
They like making their baby faces look like assholes, just smiling. Doesn't really matter to them. Terrible prankster patter. She could try and run Ronda over in Shotzi's tank.
I'll do for me. So
it's one extreme.
Last, it's one last thing because Liv Morgan's like tank. She doesn't give a sh. One last thing. It's not promoted on SmackDown's on WWE.com SmackDown copy, but it has been something they've been building to every single week, and our anticipation has certainly been rising with it. And last week was the moment that Max Dupri walked away from Maximum Male Models. So does that mean tonight is the official return of LA Knight?
Yeah. Yes.
Thank God. Because, and to build on that slightly more than just him being a funny voice and having a funny voice, does he, it's Triple H, man, does he have to bury the Maximum Male Models on the way out? Or can
as
we
a tag team in a handicap match.
Yeah, can we not just have both?
This is the one time where he can actually justify it. Look, this act that he really was into was completely repackaged. And he wants to get him out, but you can't just say, all right, okay, you might have to resolve it. If you think about these people as characters in the story, it would kind of make no sense if Maximum Male Models with a 2-on-1 advantage don't go after him. Mm. And then it's a babyface. He has to fight back.
Yeah.
This is the one time I will permit it. Because the context is justifiable.
Awful lot of little models in this business.
A lot of little models in this business. You come to, where's SmackDown emanating from tonight?
I didn't check.
You come to Saskatoon.
It's definitely not there.
It's definitely not there. You come to Wichita.
There you go.
Wichita Falls. There's something different about this place. There's something special, something a little bit different about this place. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love taking the piss out of him. Love watching him. Love everything about LA Knight. I'm done. I get what's happening.
Earnestly grew to love him.
Yes.
Like, so I'm genuinely, we liked him a lot in 2.0.
You charmed me.
So like, actually, sorry, dead quick. I know you're sick of SmackDown. Big, 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 strong rumors that Legado are going to debut tonight. Like, any thoughts on that? Like, again, not out there, so this could not happen. We're not promoting it and giving you a false hope or anything, but any thoughts there?
Is it very WWE, given that they'll be coming in as faces, to program them with Los Lotharios?
Feels right, doesn't it? And then they turn on the night and deck hit roll.
Yeah. They could just have a little squash or win against some.
I know a few things about these guys, Marco.
Yeah, Barrett, yeah.
And, there you go.
They could be set up for Brawling Brutes and or Imperium.
Imperium, I like that.
There's a little three-way deal. Yes. Yeah.
Work rate, that sort of thing.
They could talk about how they're each... Like, they've talked about how the masks, well, not the masks, obviously, but Lucha's sacred to them, and they can have a bloody wrestling philosophical war with Imperium. But you can't do that yet, because they never do two things at once. They could hint towards it. They could debut, very matter-of-fact, here they are, and they'll be back next week, guys, and then they could set up something with Imperium there.
They could deck somebody in a car park.
If Triple H had patter.
How else to start there?
Triple H had patter, he would do it.
In a car park. Well... We've got Patreon, which is why you listen to us, but thank you all the same. We do appreciate you spending some of your day with us. You can get the... Actually, no, you won't get the review of SmackDown because it'll follow Extreme Rules, but we will have an Extreme Rules review for you on Monday, along with Raw previews and all your WWE and AEW content and all that good stuff. Where can they follow you on Twitter, Mike Sidgwick?
Follow me at M Sidgwick.
I'm at Michael Hamflett. You can get all your What Culture needs at What Culture WWE. And thank you again, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.